Welcome to Empower Church. Thank you for joining us today. We are a church that has been called by God, set apart by Him, and bound together by His love. A church that aims to reach the community, the nation, and the world with a message of hope. We hope this message will build your faith, give you godly perspective, and leave you empowered to impact your community and the world.
I'm excited about the word tonight. It's a word that I haven't shared before, and I want to speak about the God of Jacob. Is that okay? The God of Jacob. Come on, talk back to me just for a moment. You know, as it's amazing for me, when it rains, it's like people don't, we like the rain, but we don't like the rain. Have you noticed that about us as South Africans? When it rains, we go all quiet and we want to do Netflix and TV. Amen? Okay. If it's just like me, or was it that confession time? Just want to get you to the scripture. Come on, talk back to me. Bump your neighbor or somebody close to you. And say, tonight's going to be a good night. Oh, no, that's very bad. I don't even think God believes that. Say, tonight's going to be a good night. Amen. Would you push me a bit there with the keys, please? And I want to speak to you about the God of Jacob. Do you know that the Bible says, and good evening to every, all of our guys on Facebook and YouTube. And welcome to all of our friends online. And do me a favor tonight, share the stream, get the gospel out. And again, tonight, I want to speak to you about the God of Jacob. Have you noticed the Bible emphasizes Abram often and doesn't speak a lot about Jacob? Yet when we go to the scriptures, the Bible says God is the God of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. And we have to ask these questions. Why is He the God of Jacob? Why does he stop there? Why does He not go on? And we know He actually can go on and He should go on. And the Bible is full of it. But I want to speak to you about tonight about three things. And maybe it's key things for all of us and this season. And what I believe in this season is this. That I believe that God wants to do something in the season that we are in. And I believe that the Lord wants to do things in our lives that even us, we can look back maybe over a year from now, and we can look back and say, could this be? Can these things be? Come on, do you have faith in the house? Can these things be? Can God do these things? And so, I want to take you to a well-known piece of scripture, and I want to speak to you about that in Judges chapter number 16 and verse number 21. And I want to take the scripture tonight and preach it a little bit a different way. Is that okay? Do you know the Bible says when you divide the word of the Lord, that word divide there is the word architect. In other words, you must be able to, from time to time, you must be able to put the word of the Lord together or architect it into a certain way. Does it make sense? Oh, come on, guys. Say amen or something. Otherwise, I'm preaching it myself. So, in Judges chapter number 16, verse number 21, and again, God is the God of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. Why does He not rename Jacob? He could have said, and I've said it before, He could have said, I'm the God of Abram, Isaac, and Israel. He made a covenant of Israel, yet he keeps Jacob's name. And the word Jacob actually means swindler. I'm the God of Abram, Isaac, and the swindler. Well, let me rename it. I'm the God of the liar. I'm the God of Isaac. He was kind of the only good one in between there. And I'm the God of the swindler. But He is not the God of my failure. He's the God of my success story. If I understand that He's the God that's ahead of me and not behind me. Come on, does it make sense? And so why does God like to, maybe I can ask this question. Why does the Lord like to call us not by our past, but speak to us according to our future? What is it about God that likes to remind you that you are a Jacob? Why does He want to bring us and keep us at that place? And may I say it like this, and this is how I feel to preach it tonight, is maybe to say it like this, is that I think He says, I'm the God of your Jacob, because He wants us to understand that this is a relationship of dependency. Oh, come on. It's never been a relationship about us, and I want to go a little bit deep, if I may, tonight. It's never been a relationship about us telling Him or being outside of His source. It's always been a relationship of Him trying to tell us how much we are needed of Him. Oh, come on. If everything is going to be about Him, when we go to be with Him one day, it should be about Him while we're living. Oh, can I have more amens or something? I believe if the more I understand about God is this, I understand the grace, the call, the gift, the anointing, all of these things is given to a man for one reason only. It's methods and it's gifts to worship Him. The call is placed upon your life to worship Him. The gift is placed upon your life to worship Him. The anointing is placed upon your life to worship Him. Everything is aimed at worship. Oh, come on. Can I have just a something? And so in Judges chapter number 16, verse number 21, I want to speak about that. Judges chapter number 16, verse number 21. I like Samson. Just because Samson failed and God still calls him a hero. Okay, that didn't go down too well. I'm going to get support online here. God likes Jacob and He likes Samson. Not because they were not perfect people, but because due to their imperfections, He still used them. Amen? He still used them. Judges chapter number 16, verse number 21. Hopefully I can get you guys alive with this. Then the Philistines took him, Samson, and put out his eyes. I want you to note that. And brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters. I want you to see that. Bronze fetters. And he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. I want you to see that. Then the Philistines took him, Samson, and put out his eyes. Now, I want to preach this and talk to you about it like this. Samson's call upon his life was to take out the Philistines. That was his call. His call was to remove the Philistines out of sight, out of the Israelites' move, or out of their eyes, out of their sight, to obliterate them or to kill them and get them out of the way. So Samson's call was to take out the Philistines. And when I read the scripture, the Lord spoke to me and He said this, often that what you're called to do, if unless you stay obedient to Him, will be the very thing that will remove your sight. Because you can covet your call above God. Okay, maybe that's a bit too deep. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. I want you to see something. The first thing that the enemy does, the first symptom that you get when you start to lose your identity is in Christ, you lose your ability to see. Once you lose your ability to see, you lose your ability to hear. Once you lose your ability to hear, you'll lose your ability to speak. Once you lose your ability to speak, you lose your ability to create. Because we are imitators of God. Amen. Come on. Are you with me? I want you to see something here. The Bible says that they put him in bronze fetters and bronze chains. The word bronze there means judgment. In other words, the enemies of Samson made a final call on his life long before God did. Oh, come on. They took him, they put him in bronze chains and fetters. And the word bronze there is a symbol or is the word that would speak about judgment, and it would speak about that they have already made the final call. Often in life, and you have to understand this, can I go a little bit deeper here with this stuff? You have to understand that people will often make the judgment upon you long before God does. They bound him with bronze fetters and he became the grinder in the prison. I want you to see this. Oh, come on. Are you with me? However, the hair on his head began to grow again after it hadn't been shaven. I want you to see something with Samson and we have to embed this before I can move on into that what I believe we need to share with you tonight. Is that the call of God was equal to Samson's hair. We can say the word of the Lord was on Samson equal to the instruction on Samson. In other words, Samson got the instruction, don't shave your hair. We know the story. He had the Nazarite vow, and because of that, the word of the Lord stayed upon him, or the anointing stayed upon him. And so when they removed his hair, it was like removing the call from his life. Oh, come on, are you guys with me? Removing the call. And the Bible says here something interesting. The Bible says at this place and at this moment where these enemies removes his sight and these enemies removes him, his call, the Bible says his hair begins to grow again. And I want to liken it to something. It is at the places where often we count ourselves out, that the word of the Lord starts to grow again. Oh, it's often at the places where people will count you out, where the word of the Lord will start to grow again. Because this is something I found out about the call of God. The call of God on a man's life and upon our lives. Listen to me carefully, because there's, in all these words that I'm going to give you tonight, there's so much power in it if we understand that the call of God is not in the hands of man. Oh, there must be something deeper. There must be something more than to this. Are you there? And so the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. And they bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. And I wrote down here, the remnant of the word of God that remains will always blindside the devil. In other words, God always leaves, listen, God always leaves a remnant of himself what the enemy doesn't know about. There's always an X factor, and there's always a but God with God. Oh, come on, are you there? It's at the places where all of the guys that watch me online, it's at that very places where even you will start to think that this is not going to work. It's at that places, if we allow the Lord, He can step in. So why is He the God of Jacob? Because about the three, I want to call them the three R's, and it's very simple, but I believe it's imperative that we understand it. We have heard so many people speak about the word repent. And the word repent is easy to understand. The word repent means to come back on top again. Jesus says repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But have you noticed that the word repent is the word pent is the Greek word for penthouse or top. In other words, if He says repent, it means once upon a time you were on top. So He says repent. Why will He say repent unless you were not on top once? So He's saying come back to your former condition. Come back to you once how you once were. Oh, come on, that's good. And then he actually tells you how to come back. He says repent of your sins. And so he throws out the marker. He says the thing that has made you fall from the top is your sins. And now He says, listen, the kingdom is here, and the only thing between us is your sins. So change and come back on top. Oh, come on. It's interesting for me that often, like of Samson, you need to lose your eyes to get your sight. Oh, okay, this is not going down well inside here. I think the guys online, they're enjoying it. Okay? The word repent, again I say, Jesus says repent. The word come back, or the call of God is easy. It says come back to the top. I've called you to be on top. And then it's I want to throw those three R's out: repent, receive, reward. Because all of these three goes in hand of the call of God upon your life. Are you with me? And if you will allow it tonight, God can redeem the call upon our lives. Because there's something about God that redeems the call. Are you a fan? God redeems the call. He always redeems the call. And so, let me say it again. Then the Philistines took him, Samson, and put out his eyes. And I want you to understand something here, and it's powerful if you can understand it. That your ability to see is linked to your ability to hear. Your ability to hear is linked to your ability to speak. And it's always the reverse of the enemy. I said it this morning at our other campus, and I'll say it again to you tonight, is that you have to understand the only thing that the devil does, and he does it so well, is he changes the way you see so that you can change the way you talk, so that you can change the way you walk. So he creates an imagination for you that comes into your mouth, because he knows that you will eat the fruit of your lips. Whatever you say, you'll eat. That's how God does it, by the way. The Bible says, in the beginning was God, and You know that quote in the beginning, or the Bible, in the beginning was God, and God created heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the deep. And the word hovered, again, there's a Greek word, imagination. And as the word of the Lord, as the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. By the way, that was chaos. It was chaos over the face of the deep. And then God the Father saw the world. God the Son spoke the word. God the Holy Spirit saw what the Father saw. You see the Godhead operating together. Are you guys with me? So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all of them operating together. God imagined the future. The Son spoke the future. The Holy Spirit brooded over the future. But it was not until the Word became spoke, or the Word was spoken, that creation happened. So now if we look at these things, and I can show you these things, is that you have to understand everything you speak. Let me say it like this. You are the architect of your future. Your future is in your mouth. And as you write the stories of your life, the stories of your life is written on the tablets of your soul. So whatever influences your soul, oh, come on, I must write a book about that. That whatever influences your soul will eventually be prophesied out of your mouth. Have you noticed many times when you prophesy things and they actually take place, we tend to blame other people? Okay, let's go on. Then Jesus, he finishes his task and he says this to the guys. He says, receive. And again, we see this word receive. And what's amazing about this word receive is the word sieve means, is the word for conduit. It means the ability to carry power again. So that means there was a time that they carried power. Now they don't carry it anymore. Now he says, receive the power again. Oh. Are you with me? Okay. Come on, guys. Are you getting what I'm saying? And Jesus did something remarkable. He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. That means there was a time that they once had it. Receive him again. When did they lose it? Listen to me. All of us, we've been made for the presence of God. Your best version of you comes out in the presence. The further you go away from the presence, the less you'll become like Him. That's why, by the way, you know, I laugh sometimes. People say, bring back the days of Acts. No, you don't understand. If God brings back the days of Acts, most Christians will die. They won't be here. Because the closer you come to God, the quicker your judgments fall. That's why Ananias and Sapphira couldn't walk away with a lie, because when they lied, they died. Oh, come on, are you with me? The closer you get to His holiness, the greater the light will be upon you. For example, I can look like my skin is fine, unless you put it under a dermatological light. The light scrutinizes the darkness. Oh, does that make sense to you? So the closer you get to the light, the more the light will scrutinize you. I want you to see it's light scrutinizing the darkness, not the other way around. Oh, come on, do I have some believers here tonight? It's the light that scrutinizes the darkness, not darkness scrutinizing the light. Who has flipped that switch? Come on, are you with me? And what I mean by that is this, is that there is a light inside of you that should penetrate the darkness. It doesn't matter how great the darkness is, there's a light that can penetrate it. And you, the call upon your life penetrates the darkness. You just have the ability to switch it on yet, and you need to find the switch. And this is what I found out about God, and I want to share this with all of my heart with you tonight, is that Samson had an awesome call on his life, but he did three things wrong. He listened to nobody. He disobeyed. And his weakness became what took him out. And God needed to physically take his eyes to give him eyes back, or allowed it to be so. Let me rather say it like that. That's more theologically correct. And so you have to understand, sight is something that is birthed in the imagination. Oh, can I just for guys, do you want this or not? I don't know. We must maybe call this tonight. I don't know. But you have to know that sight is something in the imagination. People often ask me, how does prophecy work? Prophecy is a language that happens in the realm of the imagination. In other words, God speaks into your spirit. It's in your spirit that you see it and then you say it. So it is at the pool of the imagination that God speaks. Are you with me? In other words, that impression that you get in your spirit, that impression that you get in your spirit, that is God speaking to you. Have you ever walked in, let me use an example. Have you ever walked into a shop and you feel like, or into a place and you feel, yeah, something is wrong? Have you ever felt that? It's called an impression. Now the prophetic works, or a dimension of the prophetic works like that, you get an impression in your spirit. Now what you need to understand when you get close to people is that what presses on you is God pressing on you about a person. And when you start to prophesy what you actually are doing, you are pressed in your own spirit about someone. In other words, you tap into the thoughts of God and then you say what He says. Are you with me? That's why the Bible says that prophecy is not birthed out of man, it's birthed from God. Oh, come on, are you there? Does it make sense to you? Okay, so the word repent again is the word re means form, repent means stop. The word sieve there, or receive, means you've once had the power. Now I'm going to give it back to you. That's what the scripture said. Oh, and the guys online, I don't know if you... Tell me if you throw me some fire emojis or something. Just not more rain, just fire emojis. And do you know in the world of a pastor that when it rains on a Sunday, you go like, ah. Oh. In the world of the church go, they go, yay. Do you know, guys, don't know the struggle. On a Sunday when it rains, every pastor all across the world goes, why? Can't you make it rain on a Saturday and a Monday? Why choose Sundays? Oh, come on. Because I know South Africans. I know people. They're like, oh, Netflix. Hallelujah. And so when I see rain on a Sunday, I'm like, oh, Jesus, please, man. It was Saturday yesterday, you know. Let's get the schedule right. I wanna go one deeper. Can I go one deeper here? The Bible says, Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 6. This is actually what I wanted to speak about. Because when we think about the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, if you can chase God down, God will give you your Jacob. You may ask tonight, what is my Jacob? Now, I'm going to tell you what your Jacob is. Let's go here. So Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 6. Hebrews 11 verse number 6, and I'm also going to go to Ephesians chapter number 5 verse number 18. But Hebrews chapter number 11 verse number 6 says this, and without faith it is impossible to please God. Without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. That he is. And he is a rewarder of those who seek him. I want you to see something here. The word reward there, the word ward there means territory. Territory. So God says, when you seek me, I give you back territory. I give you back that what you once lost, I can give it back to you. So you can ask me the question, what is the similes between Jacob and Samson? Why are you pulling these two guys out? Because Jacob should have not been chosen. It wasn't his. Yet he made up his mind, he's going to get it. And when God wrestled with him, he made up his mind that he will not let God go unless God changes him. You see, you can never inherit the fullness of your call if you don't change. You can quote things to other people, but the bottom line of all of our calls is we have to change. Oh, come on, are you with me? So Jacob shouldn't have been chosen, but he squeezed himself in. That's crazy faith. That's Hebrews 11, 6 faith. So he shouldn't have been there. It's like the guy that invites himself to the presidential table. Just walks in and like gets dressed and like, I'm going to sit out. Have you had this before where people kind of invite themselves? So at God's table, you have to learn a lesson. You can invite yourself. Oh. Because here's the thing. As long as you wait for an invitation, it will sometimes never come. Sometimes you invite yourself, you get dressed, you put your perfume on, you put your sexy you on, you say, hey, here I am. And like, what you doing here? I'm like, hey, I might not fit right, but I am right. Because, oh, come on, are you with me, guys? Does it make sense? And one thing I've learned about this is you can't put out the call, you can't put off the call of God upon your life until you feel like you fit the call. No, you need to speak the call until you fit the call. Walk the call until you, oh, come on. Because if you don't believe you, nobody's going to believe you. Oh, does it make sense? And so Jacob shouldn't have been there. Samson was chosen by God. He should have been there. But Samson failed. He made a mess. Slept with a girl that he shouldn't have. I don't think Samson was very clever, by the way. Because it doesn't make sense to me that if somebody asks you so many times the same question that eventually, you know, it doesn't make sense to me. It's not, I don't, well, I'll ask him one day. But the point of the story is this, is that Samson messes up. But I want you to see something. It's God doesn't leave Samson in Samson's mess. God goes looks for Samson. Come on, can I tell you something prophetically about your life? It's not what you've sealed in that breaks the potential of you. It's what you won't allow God to come into. So the places that you will allow God to come into that He can redeem. But often what we do, we segregate our own hearts and we only allow the Lord to come into certain places. And other places we leave, we're like, no, you can't come there. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Have you ever had a grass burn? Do you know what a grass burn is? A grass burn is like when you skid on the grass and you're just like you. Now sometimes in Christianity, many Christians get grass burns. You say, what is that? They become a grass burn in the spirit is like when you've been hurt so much that you become numb. When you've gone through phases in your life and God has not done certain things like you thought He should. And what I've learned about the Lord is this, is the times that I've been waiting on Him, it's been reversed. He's been waiting on me. Oh. Because everywhere in the Bible you'll find this time and time again. Come on, are you guys with me? Are you receiving this word? If you can receive this word tonight, I promise you this, that you will be able to move into the new dimension that God has for you. But you have to become unsatisfied. As soon as we become satisfied, satisfaction is the death of potential. Can I say that again? Whenever you say, I've had enough, God says, I'll take your soul. So where does that come from? The young man says, my barns are filled, I haven't got enough to eat. God says, okay, I take your soul. Why? Because God doesn't want us to run on full. He wants us to run on dependency. Whenever I'm dependent upon God, it shows my faith is active. Because whenever I don't become dependent upon God, it shows I've become self-reliant. Whenever a Christian becomes self-reliant, you've set yourself up for failure. Come on, have you noticed that? And let me tell you what Samson was, his first mistake, isolation. Isolation, desolation. Whenever a man or woman isolates himself, the Bible says they seek their own desire. In other words, whenever somebody, isolation, desolation. Oh, I pray to God, if I can tattoo this on somebody's head, I will. Isolation, desolation. Jesus never isolated himself. He was always amongst the people. The only time he would isolate himself is for prayer. You have to see, understand, when people start to isolate themselves, desolation coming. Oh, are you with me? But I want you to see this. I want you to imagine this. Samson shaven. And I don't know if I'm talking to you tonight. Guys online, help me. Am I talking to you? Because I want to throw this at you. Like all I can, is that okay? You know, we got a puppy at home, and this puppy is like, it's like how I almost want to preach it to you tonight. I'm trying to throw it at you as this puppy is throwing everything at us right now. And the girls like it. And we love her or him. It's a small little dog, but it's got a bladder of an elephant, I tell you. Because this thing just wheezes everywhere. I'm teasing about the true story. Who can relate? Anybody? It's how I feel your pain. I don't know why I said that. I wanted to say this. Thank you, Lord. I wanted to say this to you. That right through the Bible, you will see. And of Samson, I want you to imagine Samson. Samson, for a moment. Samson, shaven. Gaul seems dead. Friends lost. Fame gone. Only him and God. And I'm going to pull for you a couple of examples tonight. It's amazing for me to see that his prayer is actually selfish. But God answers it. Because he says, and I want you to see something here. He says, Lord, revenge me and remember your word over my life. But his prayer is revenge me. Old Testament, prayer of revenge. Are you there? Oh, come on. He's praying a prayer of revenge and God answers the prayer of revenge. Now, I want to just twist this a bit. I just want to shape it into a direction. God answers that prayer. And in his death, Samson finishes his call. Not completely, but he kills more Philistines in his death than what he did in his life. Why? Because his failure, his Jacob inside of him, went to God in time. So that God could take out of Samson a David that would come. Because the end of the road for the Philistines, it's not that they get destroyed by somebody that has got the power. They get destroyed by a worshiper. Small, wee little bit of man, handsome, ruddy, red hair and a beard. If you want to describe David, you need to describe David best as a guy that wrote poems, that sat under the trees and spoke to sheep. That's David. David was weird. He was so weird that his own family didn't even invite him to the family meeting when the prophet came. If you ever wanted to know how much they didn't like him, he was seen as the runt of the family. And we always, you know, the Bible, when we speak about shepherds, we always think, oh, it's such a glorious title. No, you need to understand the word shepherd there, it's not a nice title, it's the word runt. It means you have no worth. But it's a guy of no worth that's a little bit weird that plays outside, you know, out there in the field. Because if you're out there in the field by yourself all the time, all alone, you tend to get weird. I think so. Anyway, the point is that God needed to raise David up to take the Philistines out. He still accomplished his plan, just a different way out. Are you with me? And as I was studying this and as I was reading this, the Lord spoke to me and he said this. I have to say to you again is that there's something about the Jacob inside of you that can come out if you will allow it to. If you will allow to fight for your Jacob, if you decide of all of your heart to let that Jacob come out there, you have to understand there's something about a man that's fought with God and won. Oh, come on, are you with me? There's something about someone, listen, if you walk around in there's something about Jacob. Jacob fought with God and he won. He lost a fight, but he won a limp. And there's something about a man of a limp. A man of a limp has been scarred by God. But wherever a man of a limp goes, everybody knows this guy has been through a battle. You know, may I say this? I fear people that has no battle scars. Because they've won nothing in their lives. They've conquered nothing. They had no sadness, no tears, no worries, no pain. I remember, oh dear Jesus, I remember those days. I remember early on in Christianity when I just got saved. I was thinking, I was reading through all of this stuff of Paul and Peter thinking these guys paying all of these prices and going through hardships alone and crying. And I read David, the guy says he literally, if you read the Psalms, it seemed like David cried all the time. Come on, are you with me? Because he says, I soaked my bed in tears. And I was like, why do you cry so much? I never understood some of these things until last 5 years of my life. Now I understand all of these things. Now I can understand, alone. Yeah, I know how that feels. Betrayal, yeah, no, I know that feeling too. Overwhelmed, yeah, I can tick that one off. Lost all things, yeah, can tick that one. Not understanding, absolutely tick that thing off. Not getting prayer answered, yeah. And the deeper I live with God, the more I understand that it's a call not to survive this life, but to thrive while He sacrifices me. See, I know we don't like to hear this stuff, but that's true. He's going to sacrifice you. Like me, yeah. Why? Because He loves you that much? Because Satan might get the first death, but he can't get the second one. That you have to understand. He doesn't have that say. He's not in that realm. Can I tell you the big difference? Maybe you're getting this revelation the first time tonight. The biggest difference between God and Satan is this. Just this one fact. A fact here for you tonight. God has got this final say about both deaths. The first death, Satan can attack you. He can wear you out. He can make you tired. He can give you sickness and whatever can happen in your life, and you might die. So this body, you have to lay it down. And quite frankly, I would want to. But Satan is not allowed into the second realm. He himself is under God there. And he knows it. So why is the enemy throwing all of his cards onto the table right now? Because he has played his last hand. So we don't even need to guess what he's doing anymore. We know. We're like, oh, okay. So, and the only thing he's after is after your Jacob. Come on, are you with me? Because what does the enemy do? Oh, guys, come on, just respond. Guys online, throw me something. Throw me a fire or a house or raindrops or whatever you want to. But are you guys getting what I'm saying? What is this about Jesus? This was my question for the Lord. I don't know if you sometimes, who of you guys journaled? Guys online, tell me, who of you guys journal inside? I like to journal. Are you with me? Okay. I like to journal. And what I've learned is that God likes my thoughts. Because some of the stuff I write, I just pray nobody ever gets my journals. But what I've learned about the Lord is this, is that God actually, He likes my Jacob. What I mean about that is this, is that I believe in every Christian has the potential to say, you know what, I will not be defined by what happened to me. I will be defined by what happens through me. Because if I get defined by what happens to me, then I'm defined by somebody else's response towards me. But no, if I take my power back, oh, come on. If I take my power back, sounds like a superhero story, but if I take my power back, it's not what happens to me, it is who is over me, who happens through me. In other words, when Jesus was crucified, it was not Pilate nor the Jews that were calling the shots. It was the Father's will, and that didn't look like the Father's will for a moment when He got beaten. Come on, when Jesus was all alone, naked, afraid, beard ripped out, blood, bloodied and beaten. It didn't look like a good father, did it? But it was God.
killing his own boy. For who? For you, for me. Come on, can you imagine the grace? God killed God to save his creation. Oh, come on, scandalous grace. Scandalous. And sometimes in Christianity, right about now, we're forgetting it's about God. Come on, are you with me? Samson, alone, afraid, calls out to God, and God comes and finds him. Say, Samson, I'm not done. The hair on your head can grow again. In other words, the word of your life can grow again. I'm here to tell you tonight that I don't know what you've gone through, but I am here to tell you tonight that the hair on your head can grow again. The word of the Lord can grow again. And the only thing you need to do is you need to call out to God. It's that simple. It's that simple. Oh, what I love about God is not distant, he's not far, but he is most definitely holy. Oh, are you guys there? He's most definitely holy. And so what is this about Jesus? What is it about Jesus that likes that Jacob's that much? I think in every man's life, in every woman's life, you have to come to a place where you face your Simon, you face your Samson, you face your Jacob, you face your Saul, and I can go on. But in every one of us, there's two callings. I don't have scripture for saying two callings, but what I do know is this: in every one of us, you have a choice to make, which side. Come on, are you with me? So Jacob had a choice to make. He could stay Jacob or he could become Israel. Between Jacob and Israel was a fight with God. And Jacob just made up his mind, listen, I'm not going to fight all night and then just let you go. No, you can rename me after the fight. And so here's the purpose. The battle that you rage is always about your destiny to rename you accordingly. So most fights you'll go through is not about you. It's the people that you need to save. That's why you need to fight. So most fights you're going to fight is not about you. It's about the people that's going to follow your fight. Oh. Oh. Why did Jesus not retaliate? Because God would speak on his behalf. He was beaten, yet spoken nothing. In all other times, he was quippy. But then somewhere along the line, Peter needed to face his Simon. Simon was the reed. He was weak. He was blown by the wind. But somewhere he needed to face his Simon to become his Peter. And it's interesting that happened right about at the cross. Peter runs before the cross. Post the cross, Jesus says to Mary, he says, go find the disciples and Peter. In other words, go find the one that I've changed. Go call him. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Right about at the time of intervention, he needs to change into the Paul. He couldn't say Saul with the call. Oh, are you offended? Do you get what I'm saying? What I'm trying to get across to you tonight is simply this, that the call of God is not found in the old you. The call of God is found in the dead new you. Because God is not, listen, he doesn't have any, if you read by the Bible correctly, God does not want to resurrect the old man. He killed it. God is like, if I can say it like that, he will snatch the old man out of you and he put in a new man into you. And so if you can live according to your new man, that's where the destiny lies. Are you there? So the God of the Jacob is this, is that you have to understand how the Lord works. And how God works is this, is that God wants he wants to rename us according to his Son. He doesn't want to rename us according to the things that we have placed upon ourselves. He always renames us according to how he sees us. And what Satan does the exact opposite. He renames you according to that what wants to shape you. Let me use this as an example. And I spoke about it this morning, but I just want to touch on it again. The enemy will speak in your imagination realm. Why will he speak there? Because he knows you can create. He knows you can be what you say. And as soon as you understand that about yourself, that you are actually your words, and your words are actually worlds, you will understand that you are not of here, but only in here, through here, to go back to Him. So in this, I don't know about you, but I'm 38, and I don't want to waste any more time. What I mean with that is simply this, is that you get it to a place in your life, every single one of us, you will get there. If you're not there yet, you'll learn. Is that you get to a place in your life where there is nothing else that you want but God. You get to that place where you have to ask yourself, but who is God? Who am I? Who is God? Who am I? And as we can answer those two questions honestly tonight, who is God? Who am I? You'll find true identity. Are you guys with me? And so I don't know if you guys are feeling that and catching what I'm saying to you tonight, but I want to derive this and pick this or take this a little bit deeper here if I can, just for one moment. And the guys online and here inside, won't we take a moment, everybody online, just throw for me a, send me a little bit of love. Yes, Lord. I want to go to one more scripture. Can I? There's one more scripture that I want to go to. John 21 and verse number 6. And I feel there's so many people's lives that are like this right now. And I pray that you'll catch this. In John 21 verse number 6, I'll read it for you, then I'll explain to you what happens here. In John 21 verse number 6, and Jesus says, and he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast, and they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of the fish. I want you to see the picture here. The disciples labored all night long. Peter is doing what he does best. He's fishing. It's not working the way he thinks it should work. A carpenter comes next to the road and says to him, hey, and the carpenter stands and says, listen, throw your net to the right side. The word right side, The word right side is the word for righteousness. In other words, stop laboring your way. Do it my way. If you do it my way, you will not know how much you can get unless you trust me with faith. And so I want you to see something here. These boys, when they casted nets, they threw it by nature to the left side. So to throw them to the right side was unnatural in their fishing skill. So Jesus is saying to Peter, fish unnaturally. Then we'll catch more. I want to name this something. Sometimes we reach a place in our lives where we're so stubborn, and God says, just leave that side and come this side, because your side sucks. Come to my side, because here we'll catch more. Are you getting what I'm saying? And in that place where we need to go from the left to the right is called grace. Grace says, stop going left, come right. Oh, it's like Jesus hanging on the cross, saying to the guy, the one guy curses him, the other one receives him. It's the most amazing story for me. Both of them are criminals. Jesus innocent, Both of them are there. One accuses, one accepts, one receives healing, one receives grace, one receives condemnation. But both hang next to God. So it's not that you are not defined by who you hang out with. You are defined by who you receive. So if you receive God, He changes you. Oh, are you guys with me? Are you taking this tonight? And so, I don't even know how long I've been preaching here. But what I want to get across tonight is this. I want you to be able to say to yourself, I have a Jacob side. And sometimes that Jacob side is not always that pretty. Because if you look at the life of Jacob, I just need to finish Jacob quickly for you. You have to understand of Jacob, he shouldn't have been as wealthy as what he was. Jacob wanted Rachel, right? But he married Leah in the darkness. And it only was when the light came on the next morning, and thank God for light, but it was only in the day that he saw he was cheated. But he got his Rachel, but not after he changed his imagination. Because the Bible says that he took Laban's, the best of Laban's speckled sheep and goats, and he placed them at the place where they mated, and he made them see. He took all the strong goats and he made them drink and eat at the pool or at the water where they were drinking. And as they were drinking and as we're drinking and procreating, as they were busy with that, they saw themselves, and all the strong ones became Jacob's. In other words, listen, your setback is not what should define you. It's how you set yourself up with the Lord, or with the Lord setting you up, that redefine how you can come back. And so often, you know, this morning we, as we were driving, Clinton said it, and it was so, so true when he said it. I was like, yeah, you're right. Many years ago, sounds like many years ago now, but we normally would have sang songs about who God is. For example, I Exalt Thee we still sing it now and again, but all of the songs were about God. We would say, I Exalt Thee. Then we would say, you know, my dad loved this song, Wonderful Counselor, you know, all that. You know, I remember we played that thing like crazy in this church. But there were songs about God. But have you noticed the more recently we sing about us? Are you with me? It's like my storm, my battle, my. We derive God into our story, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's our narrative right now. So many of our narratives is derived out of our pain, and out of our pain we worship, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just wanting to tell you tonight, God is bigger than your pain. And your worship can't be defined by how much you suffer, because then it's one-sided. We must give thanks to God in all things. Oh, that scripture there, I don't like that scripture. If I can erase it, I want to. Give thanks always. Always? Yeah, always. When people betray me, yeah, give thanks. But how? That's why it's a sacrifice. Give thanks when I have nothing, yeah. Why? Because if you don't, you will stay with nothing. So give me thanks when it seems I'm down and out. Yeah, give me thanks always, in all things, give thanks. But why? It's a God story. It's not a man's story. So maybe I can close off with these words, and I pray that they catch your heart. God wants honest, wounded people. Honest wounded people, honest wounded people can come to God very quickly. And I don't know where you are tonight, but I want to preach it at you and everybody that's online of us right now. And tell me if I'm speaking to you right now. And if I am, then you are set up for a God moment. If I've spoken to you tonight, you have been set up for God. What I like about the Bible is that every now and again, God, you find the scripture, but God. So I don't know where you are, but I know this, that there's a but God moment. Oh, are you a fan? There's a but God moment. Do you know? Let me maybe say it like this. God did the, when the Lord brought the people out of Egypt, and I don't want to jump too much, but I want you to see this. He brought them out of Egypt to worship. But when he brought them to the first obstacle, the Red Sea, he wanted them to be already defined by what they're going to worship. And they struggled with that, but God provided for them right through the wilderness season. And you have to understand, when they went to the promised land, you know, so often preachers do this, it's so bad. We always talk about how what God did in the wilderness. Do you know that God, that the Israelites had bigger enemies to fight in the promised land? They had bigger enemies in the promised land. Why? Because the promised land was actually where he wanted them. They were not made for the wilderness. And here is something that I've learned out of Samson's life and I've learned out of Jacob's life. You can't choose your wilderness. But you can choose how long you want to stay in it. You don't get to choose wildernesses. God chooses that. As Isaac couldn't choose who would carry the knife over his life. I want you to see Abram had the knife over Isaac's life. In other words, Isaac's preservation was in his father. Are you with me? Are you guys there? So God will always set you up. And that's how the body of Christ should work, by the way. Is that God will always, your future or your preservation is set up in your spiritual father's hands. Oh, come on, are you there? And when we neglect these things, when we say, no, it's not like that, well then we throw out all of the Bible for us. Because Jesus couldn't come off the cross until the Father released him. He needed to be in obedience to the Father. Are you there? Isaac could have come off that altar any given time, yet he didn't, because he was obedient to his father's word. And I want you to see that it was the knife was in Abraham's hand. Are you guys there? Are you okay? So let me summarize this, and I want to minister. I want to pray for you. Oh, I want to pray for you because I want you to realize that your hair can grow again. I want you to understand that there's a moment that your hair can grow again. And that's the place where God revives the call of God upon your life. Because when God speaks it, I want you to understand something about the call of God upon your life. When God speaks a word out over your life, it can't come back to Him unless you go back to Him. So when God speaks a word, that word will stay with that person until that person don't fulfill it. When they don't fulfill it, that word will pass on, but it will stay on the planet. It can't go back to Him. Because His words don't fail. So that's for example, where you get something called mantles, etc., etc. The anointing and the mantles and all of that stays behind. Whatever a person does not fulfill will go on in the spiritual lineage. Abram, Isaac, Jacob. Are you there? Are you with me? And so I had this word so strong in my heart that you're not, that God is looking for Jacobs that will wrestle with him long enough so that you can actually step into that place of becoming Israel. Does it make sense, guys? And so I wanna pray tonight, and I wanna pray for all the guys online, and I also wanna pray for you inside here, is that God, the Lord is looking for people that can wrestle with him and to make up their minds that they will not be changed by the wrestling match. Let me rather say it like this. The wrestle match is there to make you ask questions. It's there to redefine who you are. And sometimes we get so entrenched in the fight, we forget that the fight is on actually to change us. Oh, I pray you catch what I'm saying tonight. Sometimes when the Lord speaks to me some of these things, I'm like, it's so difficult to preach them because you have to live them. Sometimes you live the word before you preach the word. Because whenever you have wrestled with God, listen, this is the one mistake you shouldn't make. Whenever you have wrestled with the Lord, don't wrestle with God and stay the same. That's not wise. No, wrestle with God and change. Are you guys with me? Does it make sense? And so I want you to see, and this is what I want to get back to. I want to summarize it like this. Judges chapter number 16 and verse number 21. Verse number 21 to 22. Because this is what I want to get out and get across to every single one of us tonight. Judges number 16 and verse number 21. If we can get there tonight, I tell you, things will shift, it will move, it will change. Let me read the scripture again. I'm just going here on my, I want to get it for you. In Judges chapter number 16 and verse number 21, let me read it again for you. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters and he became the grinder in the prison. However, save me, however. No, you have to say it like people that actually believe what you're busy saying. Save me, however. Everybody online, do that to say however. Okay, let's try one more time. And when you say it, please believe what you say. Because however means that from this moment, your story should shift. It should shift. Are you guys okay? So there is a however in everybody's life. And this however in this night is that God, maybe I can say it like this. This will get you excited. This is what got me excited when the Lord spoke to me. He said, because I was moaning with God. Can we have quickly an honesty here 101? I was moaning. I'm like, why am I going for all of this? He's saying, why not? I'm like, I didn't mean why not. I was like, couldn't you do it over 5 years? Why everything in a year? And then he spoke and it dawned on me. He said this. He said, because I knew you could take it. I'm like, what? Don't tell me that. Come on, have you ever, does anybody know what I'm talking about? Have you ever moaned of God? Or are you guys always holy, like, I exalt thee? Are you always like that? No, I moaned. Come on, if you're honest with the Lord, you're like David. You're like, hey. You know, David was like, he wrote it in his journal, God kill people. He was heavy. David was heavy. He was playing out there in a sweet old poor David. But when he wrote the Psalms, that guy was aggressive. But God didn't mind that. Oh, are you guys with me? And so what I want to get across, and I'll close with this, is that God wants you to not be defined by where people put you in bronze fetters and chains. God wants to define you by the word that He has of your life. And that word can't be chained and it can't be put into a prison cell. And that's what I found out about God's word. And that's what I want to give you tonight, that you can take that of all of your heart, is that you can say, but I am derived or defined by the word of the Lord over my life. Let me use three examples, then I'll pray for us. Is Joseph was not defined by his circumstances, even though his circumstances was very bad. He was in the prison cell. No, the word of the Lord over him put him in the prison cell until he came out. Come on, are you there? Does it make sense? Lazarus in a prison cell, dead, just waiting for Jesus to show up. Every time the word of the Lord, here's the point, every time the word of the Lord seems closed off in your life, it's actually not. You actually have been set up for a greater dimension of the Lord. You only need to see it for what it is. And what I found out about people is this: people are awesome, but people, they don't really want you out of the cave. And Jesus knew that about people too. Come on, are you with me? And so that's why he died for them, because he was the Savior, not the other way around. And so I want to throw this out for you, is that you get this about yourself, is you only need one Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. You don't need to save yourself, and you don't need to prove to yourself to be saved. You can just be saved because he loves you. And maybe I can close off this night and just say it like this, is that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you have to put your name into it and say, that God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is my God. And you have to throw your name right in there and say, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then your name. Because there's one thing that he is the same of all of them. He is a covenant God. So it says, the covenant I had of Abraham, I had that covenant of Isaac, I had that covenant of Jacob, and now I have the covenant of you. And that's where the power lies in the relationship. So our relationship with the Lord is not based on how well you perform. Your relationship with God is actually based on how much you can surrender. So how do you get that? Well, I sometimes feel like Peter felt in, or Stephen felt in Acts 7:51. Because sometimes God will show up in his word in your life and it doesn't look like you want it to look. You say, well, what do you mean by that, Kibar? How does that compute? It computes in this way. That God wants, well, let me say it like this. Not at once, that sounds bad. God sets you up so that you can break through. But for you to break through, you have to turn your back on you. So what do you mean, turn my back on me? Sometimes many times in life, you grew up seeing, and I've learned that about myself too, that for me to tap into my future, I have to be able to understand that God turned his back for me. So my starting place is his finished place. I don't need to finish what he finished. I can start where he finished. Does it make sense? So I can start to live victoriously from his victory. Oh, okay, I'm going to close now, because I want you guys to receive what I've been saying. I'm just going to preach on and on and on, and I need to stop. But I believe that the Lord is calling right in this hour, that he's calling Jacobs. I believe the Lord is calling Samsons, and maybe you're in the Samson spot tonight. I don't know. Or maybe you are in that place tonight where you're like, hey, I feel like Simon, I failed God. I don't know exactly where you would find yourself. All I know is this, is God wants to impart to you there's another side. There's the however. And if you can just understand these three little R's that I threw out tonight, repent, come back to the top. Receive the Spirit of God again. And come back that I can reward you, give you back territory. And I don't know what territory you've lost in yourself, but I do know this, that if you seek Him, He'll give it back. And so what the enemy does, and it's so simple, but he does it so effectively, he's so good in what he does, he takes territory slowly. Not over a long period of time, over a short period of time. Over a long period. So over a long period of time, he takes a little bit of you. Until one day you wake up and you don't know who you are. And then in those moments, we often find ourselves, and we ask ourselves, how do we get here? The truth is, you sold you a little bit, by a little bit, as you went. And every time we sell ourselves off, what happens is the Holy Spirit red flags us and like, whoa! Thank you, Lord. That's why I wanted to go to Ephesians chapter number 5. Oh, I'm gonna throw this scripture at you. I promise nobody in this room has ever read this scripture like that. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 18, the Bible says this, and do not be drunk with wine, and which is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? You would have quoted that and said, I mustn't get drunk, I must be led by the Holy Spirit. No, that's not what that scripture means at all. The Bible here says this, Ephesians 5:18, and do not be drunk of wine in which is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, you can say, but what does this mean? It means the following, and hold on to your horses. This is what this scripture means. And the reason why Paul takes liquor as an example here is exactly because he wants the readers to understand what he's actually saying. Paul here says, and the guys online, get ready for Ephesians 5:18. I'm going to give this at you. So Ephesians chapter 5 verse number 18 says, do not be drunk of wine which is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Paul uses again, as I say, he uses the word or the narrative wine. Why wine? Because his readers would have understood wine. And what he's trying to say is this. He says, as the guys would have drink alcohol. For example, if you drink alcohol, it makes your feelings... you guys know what I'm talking about. Don't look so holy. So when you drink alcohol, what happens? Your feelings get suppressed. Are you with me? In other words, you get led by your feelings get suppressed, you're relaxed, you become unwind, etc., etc. You guys know what I'm talking about. You guys look like in here, people online, I'm looking for less holy people here that will know what I'm talking about. Because, so what does it mean, excess? Do not be drunk with wine which leads to excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. It means this, whatever takes your emotions more than the Holy Spirit has taken over you. So whenever you get another narrative to redefine who the Holy Spirit is in your life, you've just allowed something else to redefine your emotions, and now they're leading that, your life. And then when I read this scripture, you can understand something. People often take their pain and they put it in there. And their pain make their feelings go this way. And that's exactly what Paul says we mustn't do. Alcohol as well. The more we drink, that's why it's called a spirit, by the way. The more you drink it, it takes you this way. Are you with me? Bitterness, anger, rage, malice, all of these things make you go this way. And that's why Paul writes, he says, in nothing let there be excess. In everything let the Spirit of God guide you. Oh. And I don't know about you, but I know this about the Holy Spirit, and I'll stop there. The Holy Spirit leads slowly. He's not quick. He's not quick. He often leads, then he stops. Then he leads again, and he stops. And what most Christians do wrong is this. They start to lead their own lives, and then they call God to come onto the scene. And that's what Samson did. And gracefully, God sometimes will allow that. And so I want to pray for people tonight, and I want to pray for you in the room as well, and everybody online, that if this is you tonight, I want you to, if you say, I have a Jacob, I have a Samson, I have a Peter inside, or a Simon inside of me, then I want you to be able to respond and say, but I don't want to stay this way. Because that's the awesome thing about it. You don't need to stay this way. Oh, come on, are you with me? We don't need to stay our Simon. We don't need to stay our Saul. And we don't need to stay our Jacob. We can actually change the narrative. We can change the story. And what I mean by that is this, is that you're not what is... You guys get what I mean. Let me say it like this. If I would do it all over again, this will be my one teaching I'll tell people all the time. And not that I want to do it again. Thank be to God for what we have. The point is that this will be my lesson to Samson. Listen quicker. Don't try to do so much. Know when to submit. And know what is the call over your life. Oh, come on, are you there? And so in this night, I want to call out to you and say it like this. Everybody online, and people are commenting, a lot of people are commenting, but I want you, if you in here, is to respond with me as the people are responding online. If you say with me tonight that, Gebhard, you're talking to me. I don't want to stay like Jacob. I don't want to stay stuck of what I in this place. I don't want to stay like Samson. I definitely don't want to stay stuck in this place. I want to move on. Then you have to respond. You have to know this about God. And I'll close with this last saying. God will always make like He moves on, looking for someone to call Him back. If you look at the Emmaus travelers, God walks, Jesus walks with them, then Jesus makes as if He would walk on. Oh, come on, are you there? And the Bible says that they ask Him, please come and stay with us. And what I've learned about God is this, He don't go where He's tolerated, He goes where He's celebrated. And as long as you stay with us, He comes in. But we need to ask the Lord, stay with me. Come on, have you ever had that intimacy with God where God actually says to you, come and stay with me a little while longer. Let's pray a little bit more. Let's have a little bit more intimacy. Oh, do you know what I'm talking about? It's the God that wants you to stay, and the other way around as well. And so if everybody commenting and the guys inside you, I want you just to respond to that and say, that's me. And if that's you, won't you just stand or lift your hands to God and say, that's me. It's me tonight. I don't want to stay my Jacob. I don't want to stay like Samson. I want to change. I want to be the call of God over my life. I want to move on. Maybe that's the best way we can. And as all the guys are responding, I throw your hands up in the air just like you just don't care. And let's pray. Everybody inside you, lift your hands. Everybody online, lift your hands. And guys, please get ready to post that Restore Conference. Everybody inside you, I want us to pray a definitive prayer. Is that okay? And what I mean by definitive, we need to mean what we say and say what we mean. Is that okay? So I want you to pray with me. Say for all of your heart, everybody online as well. Pray with me, say, Heavenly Father. Say again with me, say, Heavenly Father. I come to you in this night as I am. I thank you, God, that I didn't need to stay as I am. But there's a greater story in my future. And thank you, God, that you can take my story and write your story. And thank you, God, that even though I might have had a season or two, a chapter in my life, but thank you, Lord, that in this night, I can boldly say, you are the author and you are the finisher. You are the beginning and you are the end. And so I ask you, Lord, in this night, take my life, take my life, take my life, and rewrite my story into your story so that my life can become your story. And as the world knows it, as history. I exalt you, Lord. I lift up the name of Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Come on, let's give Jesus some praise. Let's give Jesus some praise.
If you've been impacted by this ministry in any way, we want to encourage you to partner with us financially and help us continue delivering God's word all around the world. Visit www.empowerchurch.co.za and find the giving option that works best for you, as well as some of our latest resources. Thank you again for joining us. Now go and live an empowered life.